WMCHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Intuitive Song with host Lori Houston, a professional and intuitive counselor who offers authentic guidance and tools to assist you to become more conscious and connect with your divine soul, to empower you to move from your heads to your heart. Join Lori Houston with co-host Nancy Aruda, in-house astrologer, every first and third Wednesday of the month. Plus, Jennifer Kautz, our dream analysis, also joins the team. Plus, Lori can be heard on Sky Radio every Monday with Jean Adrienne on Voices of Soul, Wednesday and Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern each day. If you have any questions on your relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that's blocking you, and or awakening your true power as you journey from your head to your heart, call Lori Houston now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul. Today we have a treat. We have Tom Campbell with us, and Tom is with us on Fridays, the last Friday of the month. But we got in this really interesting topic of conversation, and Tom wasn't able to be with us last month due to travel time and other stuff that was going on in his personal life. So we wanted to bring him in so that we could explore this topic more. We were talking about the unconscious. So if you feel like you might not know what we're talking about, I do recommend that you listen to Tom's last show, which was August 31st, and listen to that and then listen to the show again, because we're gonna explore it a little bit more and just bring in some of the really heightened points that Tom brought up, because they were so important that we kind of went through them very quickly. But Tom is an amazing teacher that is available and has so much to offer. And if you Google his name, Tom Campbell or Thomas Campbell, you can find that he has a YouTube page which has hours and hours and hours, if not days, full of YouTube videos and all of his teachings. Everything's on there. He has a series of three books called My Big Toe. And so his website is mybigtoe.com, although there's hyphens in between. So it's my-big-toe.com. I can't say enough about Tom. So welcome again, Tom.
Well, thank you, Lori, for inviting me here. It's always good to talk with you.
Mm-hmm. So we did have this amazing conversation about the unconscious. And this is kind of one of the places that a lot of people say, oh, you know, you're stuck because, you know, you've got this belief or you've got something stuck in your unconscious that, you know, you're not aware of. And, you know, so we give our power away to it. We feel stuck. You know, sometimes it's a past life. So we got all this stuff that we think is in our unconscious. And when we talked about the unconscious the last time, we really talked about how it's, you know, this other attempt for us to sort of separate us out. And really the question isn't so much, you know, how can we become more conscious of the unconscious, but, you know, how do we get rid of the things that are keeping the unconscious, which is our fears, our ego, our expectations, and our beliefs?
Yes. I think the problem that many people have is that maybe not literally in their minds do they see themselves as victims, but kind of in the sense of it is that you're held hostage by, you know, your unconscious needs and wants, desires, and that sort of thing, and there's just nothing you can do about it, or you are held. Well, not hostage, but you're a victim of your genetics. You know, you have your genes, and they just make you the way you are. You know, you're only but so smart and so good-looking and so this and so that, or depression runs in your family and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it all kind of makes us feel like we are sort of trapped here in a non-optimal situation. And, of course, the third part of that triumvirate is, you know, the other people, the system, them, you know, whoever, you know, they are, you know, it's, you can't do what you need to do, or you can't get ahead because of them, whether it's your, you know, your boss at work, or, you know, the government, or who knows what, you know, your landlord, it's them. And these people tend to hold you down. Nothing you can do about that. So here you are, this poor little victim bouncing around in this reality, hardly able to do anything. And, And somebody says, well, you need to, you know, you need to grow up and take responsibility for everything. And you feel like, take responsibility for everything. You know, I don't control anything, you know. And the things I try to control, you know, it doesn't work. So that's kind of a woe is me, ego, self-referential mode that many of us get in. Now, what I've just described is probably more... you know, kind of overstated. You know, most of us aren't quite that bad off, but we get little bits and pieces and shades of all of that in our life from time to time. We kind of feel overwhelmed and trapped, and we're in, you know, a relationship that doesn't seem to work. We're in a job that doesn't seem to work. You know, we have problems meeting all our bills. You know, so our economic situation doesn't seem to work. And then we have this personal, you know, we want to grow and become spiritual and become love and that sort of thing. And that just doesn't seem to work either. So I think that's what we're talking about here. How do you get rid of all of that negative baggage and that negative perspective and get it to work? Well, the first thing we need to realize when we look at that is that we're not a victim. Okay, we're not a victim of anything. We just are who we are, and we, you know, the way this world works, the way reality works, is that stuff happens and we get to deal with it. And that's it. You know, that's, in a nutshell, that's the way reality works. Stuff happens and we get to deal with it. And how we deal with it makes the difference. You see, that's the key, how we deal with it. If we deal with it with ego and belief and fear and all of that woe is me stuff, if we deal with it through that lens, then it doesn't turn out good. And that's the, you know, oh, nothing ever works problem. But if we deal with it with caring, with love, with compassion, so if we deal with it that way, then we grow up and we lower the lower the entropy of our consciousness, we increase the quality of our consciousness, we become love, and we're headed on a positive path. And the thing is that if we do this consistently, if we let go of the fear, let go of the ego and all the rest of these things, beliefs, expectations, you know, all that stuff, if we let that go, then we find out that our life is fun and it is full of joy. And it is just a blast, and we enjoy every day, and we enjoy our relationships, and so on. Things work for us. And it's not so much that it enables us to control the world, you see. We have to realize that having a good life isn't about controlling the outside world. The outside world just is as it is. The only thing you can control, and the only, you know, the only way that you can make changes to make your life really good, is by changing you, not by changing what's outside of you. It's not outside of you is what makes you unhappy and miserable. It's what's inside of you that makes you unhappy and miserable. So I guess that gets us then to the point of, well, how do we go about doing that? What can we do to get this cycle broken of being the victim and having all these unfortunate things that we deal with, or change? How do we change that into, let me put it this way. How do we change the way we deal with these things in such a way that it brings us peace and we feel good about what we're doing? I guess the first thing we have to look at is happiness is not what we're here for. We're not here to be happy. We're not here to have, you know, lots of money and live well, you know. I often say, all the beer you can drink and that sort of thing. That's not the point why we're here. Now, happiness will never be yours if you go out and search for happiness. You see, happiness isn't a goal that you have to do the right things. And if you could just manipulate or be in control, then you would be happy. That's not it. Happiness is a byproduct of living a life well. It's by making those good choices and dealing with whatever you have to deal with, hard or easy, or sad or or not. It's the way you deal with it. If you deal with it with love, then you will find that happiness just happens. You don't have to go looking for it. Happiness is a byproduct. Peace is a byproduct. So that kind of life that you'd like to have isn't a thing you go make. Yeah, a thing you go force to happen because you do the right things and you follow the right prescriptions and you read the right books and do the right meditations and that will make you happy. It's not what you do in that sense to go out and materialize happiness. Happiness comes from living living well. I don't mean living well by being rich. I mean making good decisions. It comes from, right action, right attitude, those sorts of things. And when you have that, that's fixing yourself. That's not fixing your environment. You see, most of us say, well, to be happy, what I need to do is change my boss, change my spouse's attitudes about this and that, change my environment. And if I could change all that outside stuff, then I'd be happy. And that doesn't work. You have to change the inside environment. And once you change that, then you will be happy and be, find peace and really enjoy your life no matter what your circumstances are. You see, your circumstances, your outside circumstances aren't the things that make you unhappy. We just think that. Why do we think that? Because it's always easier to blame it on somebody else than it is to blame it on ourselves. Because if we blame it on ourselves, we're stuck then with the responsibility of changing it. If we blame it on somebody else, oh, well, nothing we can do about it, and we're just victims, and gives us something to complain about and share stories with each other about how miserable we are and how unfair life is. So, obviously that's not the way. So how do you go about, let's say here you are, and you're listening to this, and you go, yeah, that's nice. I've heard all that stuff before, but what do I, how can I make this change in the way I approach my existence that'll make a difference? And the very first thing that you can do is look for the fear. You see, fear is the culprit. Fear is the creator of all of these problems. It's your fear. Now, many of you will think, well, I really don't have much fear. I'm pretty secure that way. Lions aren't going to jump out from behind bushes, and I don't walk around at night, and I'm not all that fearful of things. But do you have fears that you don't even know you have? Fears can be very subtle. People have all sorts of fears. It's not only fear of bodily harm or something, but it's fear of, things not going right. Fear of not getting what you think you need. Fear that people won't like you. Fear that you won't meet others' expectations. Fear that, I don't know. It goes on and on and on. There's all sorts of these fears, and we don't actually know them at an intellectual level. They're just down there, which makes it sound like it's this unconscious, right? These fears are in our unconscious. So how do we get to them? Well, we get to them by kind of unraveling the onion, if you will. The fear creates ego. Ego is a device we have for trying to hide our fears from ourselves. So that's what the ego does. So if we have a fear that people won't like us, then our ego says something like, oh, well, that doesn't matter. We don't like those people either. We don't need them to like us. Or fear will say, well, if I just, the ego will say, well, if you act this way and did those things and became like this, then they'd like you. You see, so it's the ego that is trying to help us, paste over, hide, get rid of. It doesn't really get rid of the fear. It just masks the fear, sweeps the fear under the rug. That's why those fears are so hard to find, because our ego's already swept them all under the rug. So they're kind of out of sight. But we can find ego. Ego's not that hard to find. Whenever you feel unhappy, whenever you feel hurt, whenever you feel upset, anxious, angry, annoyed, that's your ego. It's about a 99.9% chance that that's your ego that's creating that problem. And if you look at those items and try to see, where is that coming from? Why do I feel angry? Why am I upset? Why am I hurt about this? And you trace it back, and you will find a fear at the cause. Oh, the reason I'm hurt that so-and-so said that is because, I want them to like me. I'm afraid that they won't. And if they don't like me and others don't like me, then, my life isn't so good, and they said something that hurt me. Let them show that they don't care about me or they weren't sensitive to me. And so we'll trace that back to a fear of people not seeing you the way you want them to see you.
Okay, we're going to put you on hold.
Okay.
Put
me on hold.
I know. It's such an important point, too, so we will definitely come back to it as soon as we get back from break. We're going to go to break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. Today I have Tom Campbell on with me. Really, honestly, check out his site, check out his YouTube page. There's a lot of information, and Tom's really here to assist you to move into this place of love. He calls it different things like lower entropathy, but it's all the same thing. So you're listening to Intuitive Soul on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes. I have wandered through this world, and as each moment has unfurled, I've been waiting to awaken from these dreams. People go just where they will, I never noticed them until I got this feeling that it's later than it seems. Doctor, my eyes tell me what you see. I hear their cries. Just say if it's too late for me.
Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul. Today we have Tom Campbell with us. Tom is usually with us every last Friday of the month. We just have a special treat today because I wanted to explore the unconscious a little bit more before we got into our next show. So right before break, this is kind of an important aspect of it because the big thing about our unconscious, I mean, what do they say, that we're really only aware about 10% of what we're doing and the other 90% is in our unconscious. But in the last show, you mentioned that, you know, the unconscious are really all the fears that we don't want to confront, the ego that we don't want to see and the beliefs that we never seem to question. But right before break, I mean, you were talking about how the easiest way to start or to begin this process of uncovering our unconscious is through our ego, because it's through our ego that we can see the clearest, because our fears, you know, we can look at our fears, but if you're just looking at the fear, then you're missing all of those little pieces, you know, like the hurt and the confusion and the frustration and the anger and the pain and the suffering, that are mind seems to continuously go back over and over and over again. And that's the ego bit. Like, that is the piece where it's, you know, it's our ego that is manipulative, that's evaluating, that's, you know, if we don't want to mention Freud's name, but, you know, kind of the person who sort of talked about the ego in the beginning, as you mentioned in the last show, you know, kind of brought ego and intellect together. So it's the analyzing aspect, the, you know, but it's that piece that judges and evaluates and tries to manipulate everything to making us happy, which we discussed in the first part. But, you know, it's these three areas that we need to become the most aware of. But if you start with the ego, everything else kind of falls into place, because from the ego, when we look at all of our responses and our reactions, we can find out, you know, what the bottom line core fear is, and we can find out, you know, what the beliefs are that we may be holding. Beliefs are a little bit, I find, a little bit more challenging than the fears, but I mean, we can find them the same way, but we have to start probably at the easiest place.
Yeah, I think that's the, you know, that's the, like, how do I deal with it? It's start with the ego, because that's easy to find, because the ego, like I say, if you feel anxious and you feel frustrated and you feel all these things that are kind of negative, the ways that you really don't want to feel, those are generated by fears and beliefs. And if you start to look at them, you will find out what the fear and belief is that is causing you the trouble. And then the solution, the next step, of course, is to get rid of that fear and belief. It's easy to say, not necessarily easy to do, but if you keep working at it, if you want to do it and you really sincerely want to do it, then you just kind of become aware of every time you assert that fear or that belief, and it's affecting your world. It's affecting you know, your reality. And every time you do, you say, oh, I know where that's coming from, and you just put that aside, and eventually it'll just go away. So you can make progress on it. Things will tend to maybe get a little worse before they get better. I've had any number of people who kind of felt like they didn't really have any fear or any, you know, beliefs. And I tell them to go, you know, look for it. And they do. And then I hear this kind of this, oh, my God, you know, I'm nothing but fear and beliefs. You know, now that I started to uncover them, they realize that they're everywhere, and almost everything they do is driven, is pushed by a fear or a belief. And then it's almost overwhelming. Well, don't let it be overwhelming. Just take one at a time and, you know, work on it and figure this is a life's work. It's not something that you expect to do in a week. But the way, you know, I'd mentioned earlier, the way it works is that your ego works with your intellect. And when Freud defined the word ego, basically the ego was the, you know, the mental structure concerned with self, self-image, self-esteem. You know, it was about taking care and assessing, you know, the value and needs of number one. You know, what are you doing? What's happening to you? And how are you interacting with this? And it's this intellect that's doing the analysis, and the ego, which is this, you know, intellectual awareness of self. But when he did that with normal people. He went out and just looked at normal average people and said, well, here's this ego and intellect working together, you know, to kind of preserve self. The problem is that when you go look at normal people, you look at people who are full of fear, who are full of beliefs, you see, and your normal person is dysfunctional in this sense, in that they are not full of joy. They're not living in peace and in joy and, you know, with compassion. They are not love. Therefore, if you take that average person as your model as what's normal. Well, true, it's normal and it's average, all right, but it's not what you want to be, you see. So we look at the, we kind of define the mind then in the three parts. There was the ego, and that's the really the intellect. And then, you know, this is Freudian terms. Then there was the id, and that's the part you're not aware of. That's the secretive part that we're calling the subconscious. And then there's the superego, which is like, you know, your higher self, you know, your ability to go out and act with love, to act in peace, to find joy, you know. We call that the superego. That's like this thing that maybe sometimes we can find, but it's, you know, it's hard to get to, rather than that superego ought to be us all the time. Well, what happens when you let go of fear is the ego dissipates and goes away, and most of your beliefs will dissipate and go away. And then you don't have this unconscious mind and conscious mind. Instead of being, what did you say, 10% aware and 90% unconscious, you're conscious of all of it. It's all within your grasp, and you use 100% of your awareness, you see. So you become aware of everything. The reason you have this in your unconscious, which is things that drive you that you're not aware of, that kind of drive you out of this deep, dark hole someplace in your being, is because it's fear. You're trying to get away from. It's fear you're sweeping under the rug. It's the ego that's there and the intellect that are there to try to paper over the fear and make it so you can, you know, so you can deal with it without actually dealing with it. So you can, what can I say, not really deal with it, but so you can kind of ignore it, get along with it.
Pretend, you know, it's okay. Yeah, pretend it's not there.
Exactly, that you can do all those things. So that's what your ego and intellect are mostly doing. They're trying to build a little barrier between you and your fear. Once you get rid of that ego, once you get rid of that fear, then you will find that you have 100% of your mind to work with. There is no part of your mind that you're out of touch with, that kind of comes from a dark, deep hole someplace. It's not. It's all there, and it's all, you know, it's all in bright light, and it's all, you're all at peace with all of it. And it's all part of your joy. So that's what happens when you, you know, when you do grow up, is that there aren't any of these dark areas that you really don't want to go in, or that somehow push you and pull you by your emotions and your feelings. That stuff all disappears. It's all there just because you do have these fears. So once you get rid of the fear, then that subconscious or unconscious that kind of pulls you around by your feelings disappears. You see, it's not there. And you become what Freud called the superego. You become this being that is at peace, that has found joy in life. And it doesn't mean that suddenly, you know, your boss wants to promote you, you know, your spouse, you know, dotes on you, and you know, you don't have to pay your taxes anymore, you know, something like that. It's not that you've changed the outside world. You don't need to change any of that. You just need to change the inside world. You need to change yourself. It's like somebody that I read was writing a book, and they were depressed, and they took Prozac, and they were writing this funny little article about a couple of months after they started taking Prozac. They were saying that it was just magic how them taking Prozac made everybody else in their life act so much nicer. You know, and it was meant to be a funny article, you know, it was in humor, but that was basically the thing, that they took this Prozac, and in one month or two, everyone in their life started to behave better, and was a whole lot nicer to them, and the world just changed. You know, they were always the same, of course. They didn't change. It was their environment changed. Well, it has to do with your perspective. You see these terrible things because that's your perspective, and then you try to manipulate them not to be terrible. You want to make the world the way you want it to be. So you're out here trying to control the world so you'll be happy. And, of course, that doesn't work. You can't control the world. You can only control yourself. And most of us aren't even very good at that. So
well, we do have to go to break, but, you know, I just I do want to make that point clear apparently all we need is Prozac and we'll all have a much better life. Maybe we don't have to do all this work.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go to break. We will explore maybe how to, how to look at our fears and identify them, because I know I've identified mine for like 20 years now and I'm not sure they're going away, but that's okay. It's not, we'll talk about it. It's your perspective and how you deal with it. But you're listening to Intuitive Soul. I have Thomas Campbell with me. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
On the web now. Log on.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Tried to beat you, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run out, I'll be giving it my bestest. And nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some. But I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm yours. Well, open up your mind and see like me. Open up your plans and damn, you're free. I look into your heart and you'll find love. Of the moment people dance and sing, we're just one big family, and it's our godforsaken right to be loved. Love, 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 love. So checking my tongue in the mirror and bending over backwards just to try to see it clearer, but my breath fogged up the glass, and so I drew a new face and I laughed. I guess what I'll be saying is there ain't no better reason to rid yourself of vanities and just go with the seasons. It's what we aim to do. Our name is our virtue. But I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait.
Live the life you've imagined.
Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself, a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul, and today we have Tom Campbell here. Tom can be found on the net. If you Google his name, either Tom Campbell or Thomas Campbell, or his acronym TWCJR44. Okay, so maybe his name's easier. You can find a lot of information on him on YouTube, as well as his website, which is My Big Toe. There's hyphens in between, so it's my-big-toe.com. And he also has a forum that is full of information. There's so much you could find out and understand. And so if anything on the show is intriguing your interest, please check it out. And if it's confusing you, please check it out, because you can find out more information. So we were sort of talking about our fears, and I sort of ended with a comment about, you know, I've known my deepest core fear for at least 20 years, and I still have plenty of opportunities to look at it and make different choices.
Yes. You know, that's kind of typical. We didn't take that step, actually. We said to look at those things that bother you and upset you, and then you'll find your fear. But we didn't say really then what's the technique? What do you do once you find the fear? And the only antidote I know of for fear is courage. Okay, so you have to have the courage to change. And this doesn't mean to manipulate or to modify things, you know, at the intellectual level, but to change yourself at the core. Let's say you have this relationship, you know, problem, and it's something you've been struggling with. There's a fear that, you know, you person won't like you or won't want to stay with you or won't want to whatever. But at the same time, it's squeezing you and it's not right and you don't feel like you are, you know, being who you are. Well, you need to just have the courage to be how you are, because you have to be whatever you are, you know, whether that's, you know, good, bad, or somewhere in the middle between those, it doesn't matter. You have to start with you being you, because you can't change you until you really know who and what you are, you know. So let's start with who you are. So you say, well, I don't like this. I really don't want to live this way. Then I'm just going to have the courage to, you know, to step outside of the box where I am enabling it by not facing it, by not, you know, just being myself. I'm enabling this dysfunctional situation to continue, and I'm just kind of rotting here in this dysfunction, and it just keeps getting worse. You know, it festers, and it doesn't improve with time. It gets worse with time. So what you need to do is just have the courage to make the change and say, well, this is what I think is right. This is what I need to do, and do it.
Right.
See what happens. You see, have the courage to be, to do what you think is right, to do what you know in your heart is the best thing for you to do and be. So it's the kind of the right action, and then have the courage to take that right action, and then let the rest of it, let the chips fall where they may, if you will. And if you keep doing this, at first there may be some dislocation. You may end a relationship that you've been nursing that's dysfunctional, and maybe ending it is what you need. You see, that may start you off in a whole different path, you see, but as long as you're stuck in this dysfunctional rut and you don't have the courage to deal with the fear that keeps you in the rut, then you're going to be in the rut for 20 years. So you, at some point, have to have the courage, which means also you have to really want to change. You have to say, well, I want to be different than I am. You know, I don't really like, you know, this part of my life or the way it is, then I'm going to change it. I'm going to be different. Instead of saying, I need to change that other person, I need to fix that other person and make them be different, just figure you need to be how and who you are and be it. Have the courage to then just go forward and then deal with what happens next. And then deal with what happens next. But always in your interaction and your choices, be yourself. Do the right thing. Do what you know is the right action that is moving you forward. You see, that's what I mean by, you know, dealing with things, making choices that are positive, choices out of caring, out of love, out of compassion. So choices that are honest, choices that are you. Don't worry about letting your intellect try to figure what it is you should, you know, what's my right move as far as your intellect goes. Your intellect will attach itself to some sort of manipulation of the situation so that it works out the way you want it. And that's not what I'm talking about. It's not that you need the courage to manipulate. We manipulate because we don't have courage, because we're kind of slinking away and we're trying to fix things. What you need the courage to do is just to be, because that's what it's like. You don't want to live out of your intellect. That's living out of your ego. You want to live out of your being level, not your intellectual level, what you are at the core. And if you don't like what you are at the core, then you change it. And you have to have courage to do that, because you don't know where it's going to end up. You don't know what it might do. You may end up, you know, changing your friends, changing your interests. You may change a lot as a person. Well, don't be afraid of change. Don't be terrified by uncertainty. That's where it takes courage, and you cannot change without the courage to take a step off in a new direction and figure that you'll just see where that leads. But that's the attitude you have to have if you're going to grow up. You have to be able to just take that step and see where it leads and then take the next one. Make those choices as you go and just make them as well as you can, making them from a deep level, from the being level, not from the intellectual level of how can I manipulate, how can I control, but how can I be? You see, maybe it's a bit of a subtle difference at first, but it's really very clear after you get started on that path. And many of us aren't willing to do that. We don't have the courage. We don't want to mess up what we already have, you see, because even though it's dysfunctional and we don't like it and we complain about it, we're afraid of doing anything different. Something that we aren't sure where it's going to lead is just too scary. Well, then what happens is we don't change. We just, you know, stay in that same rut because we're afraid to get out of it.
All right. So what I hear you saying, and I mean, part of us, okay, so we identify one of our deep fears, our core fear or our core belief around, you know, mine is usually around abandonment. And so many of the experiences that I've had and most of the reactions that I have somehow is attached to that. So if I were to say, okay, so, I mean, part of the big problem is that, you know, most of us don't like who we are. Like, if, you know, to be honest, I mean, most people were afraid of, we don't want to see the bad things. We don't want to see, you know, those pieces of us that what we have judged as bad. So we're not accepting who we are. We're trying to stuff that down. And of course that gets stuffed into the unconscious. But so we're afraid to look at those pieces because we don't like them. We judge them in other people, which is why we see them in other people, because they're part of us. So we're afraid to look at those pieces because we don't like those pieces. And so we, you know, we have these core things that, I mean, anybody who's done a lot of work like myself is very aware of them. So I guess what I would do then would be to say, okay, so I know that everyone doesn't abandon me. And if I was, you know, if one of my things is, you know, whether I'm worthy of being loved or, so if I was coming from a place of love instead of fear, how would I be differently? How would I be around that instead of always getting defensive or, worried? So then it brings us into that state of what it would feel like or be differently or be as who we are. And then from that state, we can make different choices, or we can have the courage to sort of make those changes so that we're not in that place. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes, but let me give an example, and I'll use abandonment as an example. So let's say we've decided a core fear is abandonment, and we went to deal with that fear. Now, we'd like to get rid of that fear. So we see how that fear pushes and pulls us, our feelings, our emotions, and the things, the way we act, and the things we, you know, are pushed and pulled by this fear. So to deal with it, we have to confront it. And the best way to deal with a fear, to let a fear go, is to accept the worst. Accept the worst of that fear. And that way you would say, okay, if I act this way, I feel like this is the way I should be, but I'm afraid to be that way because if I am, I'll be abandoned. So then you have to say, well, okay, let's just say the worst. Let's say I do that. This is the way I really need to be. This is the way I have to go, the way I want to go. And if this causes me to be abandoned, then I'll accept that. How bad is that? And think about it. Say, okay, I'm abandoned. I'll do this, and all the people I know will run away from me. They'll all go away. Okay, what am I going to do with that? Can I make new friends? Can I have new relationships? How can I live with that? How can I deal with that? Accept it and say, all right, if the worst happens, I'll deal with it. I'll accept it. I'll start a new path in a new way as a new, better person without this fear, and I won't you know, I won't let this abandonment bother me because I've already accepted that that's what it's going to be. You know, I will be abandoned. Okay, I accept that. It's just going to be me all by myself. And if that's the way it is, I can deal with it. And then you go on making your decisions. So the courage often is in the form of just accepting the fear, because once you accept the fear and say, all right, I'm going to be alone, I will be abandoned, and that's okay. I can live by myself. I can be self-sufficient. I can do these things. And once you let go of it, I mean, once you accept it, then you can let go of it. You've just taken all the power away from that fear, you see,
right,
by accepting it. So that's
what you mean.
Yeah, that's one Perfect. Technique of getting rid of the fear. It's just accepting and say, okay, that's the fear. Some people have a fear of, you know, not being liked. And that's maybe abandonment is a similar thing. But if I act this, people won't like me. Or if I do this, you know, people will find me inadequate and this or that. Well, you have to say, well, if people find me that way, then that's okay. Let them think whatever they think. If they find me that way, then that's okay. This is the way I need to be, and I'm going to go on with my life in that way, and I will accept that, you know, people will run away from me, and I will live by myself, and I will have my own, you know, abide by my own counsel, but you know, I will be doing what is really me on the inside. I will be honest with myself. I won't live in a frightening place where I'm constantly trying to manipulate things to soothe over my fears. So that's the kind of courage it takes. And you just then step out and see what happens. And the thing is, what you find out is that that fear is just a paper tiger. You see, nothing happens other than the fact that everybody likes you better and people are more drawn to you rather than running away from you and abandoning you. You see,
we got to go to break, Tom.
Another break.
I know. Sorry.
Oh, terrific. I love these breaks.
Sorry. All right. We're going to go to break. You're listening to Into the Soul with Thomas Campbell on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Discover your spirit. Listen to Spirit Guide Radio, where leading spiritual experts serve as guides to nourish your soul. Every weeknight from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, Heidi Hollis, The Outlander, The Zodiac Girls with Solaris, Laura and Kira, Ask Dr. Doug with Dr. Doug Lear, PSI 911 with Katie, Rhonda, and Christy, Life by Number with Celeste, and Your Reiki Journey with Heidi Harrison. Spiritually Speaking Radio for the soul. CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
Rain, rain on my face. Hasn't stopped raining for days. My world is a flood. Slowly I become one with the mud.
But if I can swim out the 40 days in my mind is crushed by the crashing waves that feel so high that I cannot fall, let me alone, lift me up
when I'm falling,
lift me up
we can die. Flashing in the ocean, I'm losing control. Dark sky all around. Can't feel my feet touching the ground.
But if I can't swim out the 40 days, then my mind is crushed by the crashing waves that feel so high that I cannot fall and feel alone. Lift me up.
Lift me up,
keep me from dying.
that turns my eyes and dry the streams still flowing, casting down all ways and sin and guilt that overthrow me.
Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul. Today we have Tom Campbell. He will be back with us at the end of the month, the last Friday of... I don't think that's, is that the 31st? It's not, is it? No, it is the 26th. So he will be back on the 26th, which we'll talk about something else. But I've really enjoyed today's conversation because it highlights some, you know, important pieces. And, you know, you were mentioning about the fear and some of the ways to sort of get past it. The examples you gave are really important. I think it's important to understand how our fears kind of play a role. And during the break, we sort of talked about how the ego will give us, you know, numerous excuses, which is another piece of why we don't have the courage to change, because we'll come up with all these excuses.
Yes, that's the ego's job, actually. You know, that's what the ego is there for. It's to excuse us from actually dealing with the fear. So when people might hear what I'm saying and I say, well, just, you know, accept your fear and da-da-da-da, and they go, yeah, I can understand what he's saying, but, you know, in my situation is this and that, and I can't do that because of this reason and that reason. And that's your ego talking. You know, your ego will find 100 good reasons why, you know, you can't deal directly with the fear. That's part of what your ego, you know, does for you. It gets in the way in that way. The thing about fear, I mentioned it being a paper tiger, is that the way this reality works is in many ways you create your reality. You create things that happen. And if you have fear, then you manifest that fear. In other words, if you're afraid of such and such happening, the actual fear of such and such happening creates that such and such happening. Your fear creates itself. What it is you're afraid of then materializes. So fear will do that. Intent does that. So your fear is part of your intent, then it will create a reality that justifies your fear. So you see, the fear is self-justifying. What you'll find out if you have the courage just to break free from it and to accept it, then it will dissipate. It will just go away. And all of that stuff out there in the world that seems to justify that the fear is real and it's going to get you if you let it, it just evaporates. It goes away. Say, okay, it'll get me. It just let it get me, and that's all right, I'm going on. If you do that, you'll find that fear is just like smoke. It dissipates very quickly. Now, there's one other way to deal with these things that's very helpful, and that is first learn to meditate. And if you have trouble, go get some help, like go Google binaural beats and get a binaural beat of about 4 hertz, 3.85 to 4 hertz. And put that on the headphones, and that will help you meditate if you're having a problem. But anyway, learn to meditate. And as you meditate, you should find this point in your meditation that I call point consciousness. And that is where you have let go of all your sensory input data, and you are just a point of consciousness floating in the black void. A point of consciousness in the void. And that's your total existence. Nothing else is going through your mind. No thoughts, nothing. You're just aware that you are aware that you're consciousness and nothing else. So that's why the nothing else means floating in the void. So when you get to that point, now you can bypass a lot of the ego nonsense, and you can kind of ask some questions like, you know, what do I need to do? Who am I? How can I deal with this problem? And you will get answers there. You will get answers. And if you're not too afraid to actually accept the answer, you know, if you can be open to the answer, you will get help. And you should find that help to be very reassuring. That's you in contact with kind of the larger consciousness system, or some people might say with your oversoul or your higher self or, you know, God, or however your particular, you know, metaphysics works there. That's getting kind of outside of yourself and connecting with something larger than yourself and finding some answers and some courage at that point. So point consciousness is a good place to work to get to. You should be able to, the first time you find point consciousness, you'll find it for like 10 seconds and it'll disappear. But if you keep working at it, that'll get to 20 seconds and 30 seconds, and pretty soon you'll be able to hold it for as long as you want. That's a very warm, happy, fuzzy place to go. And you will find getting courage there is much easier, and finding a path. What's your path out? Those kinds of answers and knowledge will come to you there better than if you just try to use your intellect to crack that nut.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tom. Tom can be found on the internet at mybigtoe.com. So my-big-toe.com. Can be found on YouTube. Check him out. I look forward to connecting with you again at the end of the month. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And awesome show. Thank you, Tom.
You're very welcome.
Thank you,
Lori.
You've been listening to it. To a Soul on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.